through your word. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand up if you've got a book for Christmas. It can be a Kindle, it could have been on your, it could have been a number of folks. Anyone get them, Michelle Obama's book? Couple of hands going up. Apparently, it was apparently one of the number one selling books this Christmas, along with David Williams' book and the Guinness World Records. Who got a copy of the Guinness? We got a copy in our house. Fascinating stuff in the Guinness World Records. We all have our favourite types of books, writers, styles, genres that we like to read, and books still play a massive part in our lives today. And this morning we come to start looking at a book that still today is the number one selling book in the world. They estimate 400 million copies sold or distributed each year, plus millions of downloads, currently translated in around 2,500 languages, and it is, of course, the Bible. And as Rory was sharing with us earlier this morning, we're going to be exploring the Bible over the next 8 weeks or so. In the mornings, we're going to be looking at some of the big themes that come out of the Bible course. And then either in a life group or tonight in a Sunday evening, we're going to be running the Bible course. So let me really encourage you to get involved in one of the opportunities to do the Bible course. If you've not picked up your booklet, you can do so this morning from the Village Centre. But it's an opportunity not to be missed to do this course. We're going to be looking at 8 different themes this morning. It's introduction to the Bible, then it's creation and covenant, Exodus and the promised land, Judges and kings, exile and prophets, Jesus and the gospels, Acts and the church, and then Revelation and review. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing the Bible course? Why are we having this focus on these 8 weeks? Because we are passionate about wanting to grow as disciples of Jesus and serve Jesus. We really do want to be on a discipleship pathway. It's not just a lovely little banner there. It's something that we really want to be on. We really want to be living, connecting, and being transformed and changing our world. And for this to be happening, we need to be opening our Bibles together and also in our own time as well. One sermon a week is not enough of God's Word in your life. You need to be making time during the week. And these are some really exciting days. We have so many different options, so many different Bible notes, Bible apps you can get, incredibly exciting resources you can use to get into the Word. I have Faro reading to me every day through the year in the Bible, which is just fantastic. But there's different things that you can use. But these 8 sessions, I think hopefully you're going to find them encouraging, you're going to find it helpful, you're going to find it very practical. As together as a church at the start of this year, we are making this commitment to be opening our Bibles together and to get excited about getting into God's Word, believing as we do so that actually your life will be changed. God will strengthen you. God will give you guidance into your life as we're getting into His Word. God might actually disrupt your life a little bit as you get into His Word and incredible things that it will reveal to you. It will build you up. You might even find you're released into new areas of service as you get into God's Word over these next 8 weeks. So today is really an introduction, and I want to pose what for me is one of the most important questions that we can ask about the Bible, and that is, where did the Bible come from and how did it come to us? And these questions are so important because your belief and your understanding of where and how the Bible came to us will influence your whole walk with God. And I'm going to go on record and saying I think this is one of the biggest challenges that we face in the church today, and that is our understanding and our view of God's Word. We believe it really is God's Word, then it carries an authority in our lives. But if we don't believe that, well, I think it was Augustine that said, if you believe what you like in the Bible and reject what you like, it's not the Bible you believe, but yourself. And I think today for the church, this is a big, big issue about what do we actually think the Bible is. And so we're going to look this morning at where did it come from and how did it come to us. And one of our first key texts this morning is going to be 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 12 to 21. So if you've got a Bible, one of the church Bibles, look it up. Maybe you've got it on your phone or whatever. And I'm going to read this text to you this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 12. Peter writes, "Therefore I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." Where did the Bible come from? We read in one of those verses there that Peter says, we have great confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. And Peter here is referring to the Old Testament prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament writings. Remember, the Bible is in two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The time that Peter is writing this, the New Testament does not yet exist as we have it today. And he says to the people that he's writing to, you must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place. It reminds us of the memory verse that we've got to be remembering for this week ahead, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. And then Peter goes on to say that these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. You know, most folks that write books, they do something, don't they? They put their name to their book. Occasionally you get some folk that write under a different name, but most people like to identify that they have written the book. But whenever you pick up a Bible like the one I've got here this morning, it just says Holy Bible. It doesn't say Holy Bible written by God. And yet Peter here in this passage is telling us that the Bible's origin is not human, but actually divine. God is the author. In fact, if you back up there to verse 16, he says, this is not made up clever stories. He says, when we told you about Jesus, we saw it with our own eyes. Peter's saying, the Bible's not like a fairy tale. It's not coming out of someone's imagination like some of the other stories that we read. No, he says in verse 21, no, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Staggering claim that Peter is making here. He's saying the Bible is from God. It did not begin with humans. It begins with God. Let me keep on exploring this a bit more as we go into another key text. This is one that you've been memorizing this week. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, and I'm reading from the NLT. All Scripture is inspired by God, Paul writes, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This, for me, is one of the most important statements in the entire Bible, where Paul writes, all Scripture is inspired by God, or other translations put it, all Scripture is God-breathed. Paul is saying that these writings that we have here in the Bible, these words, they're so much God's Word that it's like God has breathed it. That word inspire means to breathe into, or to breathe upon, to infused with life-giving breath. And so there's a picture here of the Bible being breathed out of God, coming from God with life into our lives. We think of Genesis 1, where God created Adam and breathed life into him. And we think here of the Bible, its origin is not human. It is, as Peter states, as Paul states, it's the inspired word of God, breathed out of God, just as God breathed life into Adam, the Creator God. So God is the origin of the Bible. But what does this mean for us? What are the implications for your life and mine if the Bible is from God? Well, for me, there's two things that this means for us. The Bible is both truthful and helpful. If these words are truly inspired by God and God is truth, then what we have here is not fairy tales, is not creative stories that someone has made up. They are indeed the true words of God, and God cannot be contradicted by his own words. So the Bible is truth, and if something is truthful, it is also helpful. Paul says that all Scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired from God. Therefore, it's useful for teaching and correcting and preparing and equipping God's people for every good work, Paul says. In other words, the Bible changes us. The Bible changes us through the Holy Spirit working through God's Word. When you're reading the Bible, you're listening to God, and Holy Spirit is working in you, and you're equipped and built up and able to do the work that needs done. In other words, if you want to be equipped for action, you actually need to be reading your Bible. And that verse is there in 2 Timothy that Paul writes. There's almost a picture that flows there. You know, Paul talks about, you know, being useful for teaching. And one of the things we need to have in our lives is, if we're going to grow through God's Word, we need to be teachable. We need to have hearts that are actually opened and willing to be taught by God through his Word. But then, and I'm back here to the NIV translation, where Paul talks about how God's Word rebukes us. In other words, errors are pointed out in our lives through God's Word. And then it's used for correction. In other words, you know, God's Word says to us, this way is better. Don't go that way. It corrects us and tells us this way is the better way to go. And then it trains us in righteousness. That's right living. That's godly living. That's a holy life. That's living like Jesus. And to be a disciple of Jesus, what Paul says here in 2 Timothy is very challenging. He says to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to be reading your Bible, because that's really important to an active life that you will lead for Jesus. You know, it's God-breathed and it's useful, and it will equip us and train us and bring us into more of an active life for God. And so we need to be investing in this. We need to be going deeper. We need to be disciples of Jesus who open up God's Word. And it will help and change your life. You know, I recently, as many of you know, I recently changed my car. And the manual that goes with it is incredibly thick. And so at first I didn't read the manual. I just thought, I can't be bothered reading this manual. And so, but I had this problem with the car. At times it would start, and at times it wouldn't start. I thought, this is really strange. What is going on here? If I had read the manual, I'd realised I'd bought one of these cars that you need to put your foot on the clutch for it to go. And I'd send it back to the shop and everything, complaining about it all and everything like that. And then I was left rather humbly having to go on. I do think the salesman should have told me that, though. But I didn't read it at all. And so it would have been useful to me if I at least opened it a little bit. But then when I did read it, it's so thick. And it's quite frustrating, because you read about it and it tells you all that all that the car can do. Well, it tells you all the different models of your car can do. And so I read and I think, wow, I've got heated seats in this car. I didn't realise that. And then it says, only available in certain models. And this kind of goes on through the whole manual. I mean, really, there's only about this much of it that is really relevant to me. But here is the thing about the Bible. When you are opening it, it is all relevant to you. Donald Barnhouse says this, the shortest road to an understanding of the Bible is the acceptance of the fact that God is speaking in every line. Where does the Bible come from? God, He is the origin. Holy Spirit inspired, God breathed, which means it's truthful, which means it's helpful into your life. It means when you are opening your word, when you are opening your Bible, God is speaking into your life. But I know what's going through some of your minds. You're thinking, but wait a minute, Mark. Are you not making a bit of a contradiction? You're telling me that God is the author, and yet if you open the Bible course, if you go to page 12 in your wee pamphlet here, it tells you that the 66 books of the Bible were written by probably about 40 different human authors. You get folk like Moses and David and Paul that wrote big chunks of the Bible. How can you stand up and tell me this is the Word of God when so many flawed people were actually involved in writing it? How can you say on the one hand that God is the origin of the Bible, knowing full well that so many humans were involved in writing it over such a long time? How do we have this book today? Did God say to Paul, right, Paul, sit down, get your pen, or whatever it was, reed, or whatever he wrote with back then, and write exactly what I'm going to tell you? Or did Paul just sit down there and try and express what he felt God was actually telling him to say? I mean, what is going on here? How do we end up with these 66 books, but written by so many different writers? Well, I think that's where we need to go back to that text in Peter where we read, no, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. This indication that the Holy Spirit is supervising the writing of Scripture so that what we have is exactly what God wanted them to write. Let me explain this to you using an illustration. It's not perfect, but it will help you a little bit. Think more about this. You decide to build a house, and so you hire an architect, and they draw up plans for you. And they create a final design. The architect knows exactly how the house should look. And the architect then brings in different contractors to follow their lead. But this is a big job. You're being good to yourself. You're building yourself a big house here. And so instead of hiring one plumber, the architect hires a couple of plumbers. One to do the two bathrooms downstairs, and one to do the four bathrooms upstairs. Remember, we're being good to ourselves. Although that's now six bathrooms to clean. That doesn't sound too good. And both plumbers go to work under the direction of the architect. But they both actually have been trained differently. They've both actually got a different way of doing it. One of them believes you should fit the toilets first and then everything else. The other believes, no, you should fit the sink unit first and then fit the toilet. They do it in different ways because they're going to get different trained in different ways. But they still build the bathrooms in the end exactly as the architect wants it. Very differently and how they go about it, but the end result is the exact same because they're always under the supervision of the architect. And the Holy Spirit for me is like that architect, supervising over hundreds of years, very different set of people, different skills. Some of them were great at Hebrew and great at Greek. Others of them were not so good at it. They were all from different backgrounds. Some were very poetical. Some were kings. Some were common people. Some of them were writing directly what God said to them. And you think about Exodus 34. God says this to Moses, write down all these instructions for they represent the terms of the covenant I am making with you and Israel. God's very clear to Moses. But then you've someone like Luke. When you go to the Gospel of Luke, it starts with these words. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. So Luke was kind of investigating and writing and gathering information. And then there was others that wrote from personal experience. Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord sitting on a lofty throne. He writes from personal experience, different processes, different styles, one supervisor, the Holy Spirit. So yes, God used humans to write the Bible under his supervision. So for me, the Bible is God's word. God is the origin. It is inspired. It is God-breathed. And it is God's word written in human words through the help, through the supervision of the Holy Spirit. And what does this mean for my life, for your life? It means there is nothing else that comes close to it. I need to be opening it. I need to be exploring it. I need to be trusting in it. Because it's not just a good story by a good writer. It's God's word speaking into our lives. You know, when I look back over my life, I look back and I think, how has God's word been active in my life over the years? And at times, and you will all relate to this, at times God's word has brought me incredible comfort into my life. Maybe just been struggling with something that's happened, and I've opened God's word, and there's just been that verse or that story that has just brought incredible comfort into my life, for whatever it may be. At other times, it's given me direction. I'm sure many of us have been there. We've been like, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know where to go with this. And as you've prayed and as you've opened God's word, God has given you direction into your life. At other times, it has challenged my wayward life at times. It's been like a size 12 up the backside as I've opened up God's word and I've been like, wow, I got that so wrong, or I treated that person so wrong, and God's word has just spoken into my life. At other times it has encouraged me. It has deepened my appreciation for God. It's made me unpopular at times, God's word. God's word will make you unpopular because there's things contained in it that a lot of people either don't believe or don't want to hear. And as you're like, you know what, why do you say that, Martin? I say that because that's what I read in the Bible. It's made me unpopular at times. But probably most importantly of all, it has introduced me to Jesus. When I read about a God that loves me, who sent his son to die for me, to be my savior. And it continues. Each day, it continues to introduce me more and more to Jesus and just how wonderful he is. You know, if you go to the gym, and maybe some folk have signed up for a gym at the start of the year. If you go to the gym, then one of the things you realize is that gradually over a period of time, you actually notice that you're able to do things with your body that you maybe weren't able to do before. You become more and more stronger, and yet at the time you're maybe not aware of it. It's maybe when you look back after 6 months or a year, you think, wow, when I first started going to the gym, I couldn't lift that weight, but now I can lift that weight and more. Now I can run that distance that I never used to be able to run. You know, you look back and you see how you've grown. And one of the great things about regularly reading our Bibles is that over the months, over the years, you can look back and be like, wow, God has really been working in my life. That consistent practice. It's not every time you open your Bible, it's going to be like a thunderbolt. And it's going, you know, but actually the consistent practice of reading and taking in the very words of God leave you in a place that when you look back over the months, over the years, you can say, wow, God has really worked and really changed and really been at work in my life through his word. That consistent practice of reading your Bible. Asking, what does this say to me today? And praying into it. And God's word is alive and it is active in your life. So today I want to encourage you. This book, the Bible, for me it is God's word, written through humans, through the help of the Holy Spirit, guiding them. It is the inspired, God-breathed word of God. So let me encourage you this morning. If you've never read your Bible, to start today. Let me encourage you, if you read it now and then, to just start reading it a little bit more. Let me encourage you, if you read it often, to keep doing it, because there is nothing like it. God's Word. When you are opening your Bible, you are listening to God. You are hearing from God. In fact, it is one of the most dangerous things you can do in your life, is to get into a regular pattern of opening and reading your Bible, because you will encounter God and He will move in your life and He will change your life, and attitudes that you never thought you'd be able to deal with, God will help you deal with, and people that you never thought you'd be able to forgive, you'll be able to forgive them as you're in reading God's words, and direction that you never thought you would have in your life, God will bring into your life, and purpose that you've wanted for your life, you will get that as you open God's word regularly and daily, as you hear from God. It is indeed one of the most dangerous things you will do, because you will not remain the same as you continue to open God's word in your life. This is why we're doing the Bible course. This is why we are passionate about doing this, because we believe the Bible is God's word and we believe He will speak into your life. And that's where we want to be as a church family together and as individual disciples, that open God's word and know His eternal word coming into our lives. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your word. We thank You that Your word is alive and active, because it is God-breathed. It is from You, God. And Lord, I pray for each person here this morning. You know what? We'll all be in a different place with our Bible reading right now. And this is not about them being beaten up because they don't feel they read it enough. Or this is about all of us this morning just saying, I'm going to read my Bible that bit more. This is about all of us as a church family, just making that commitment. Lord, because we want to be equipped. You know, as Paul talks about there in Timothy, Your word does change us, it corrects us, it rebukes us, it trains us for every work of righteousness. Lord, that's where we want to be. We want to be people that are changing and being renewed. And Lord, for that to happen, we need to be in Your word. So I pray for each person here this morning, that they would be encouraged to go home, to maybe get one of the many Bible apps or reading helps or notes that are available, or maybe just to start in the Gospel of Matthew or whatever it might be, and just to be regularly opening Your word and hearing Your eternal voice breathing into each of their lives. And Lord, as we do so, Lord, You will work through Your Spirit, taking Your living word and making it and using it in each of our lives, Father. So, Lord, I pray in 8 weeks' time, when we look back, having just done this course, I pray that for each person here, they'd be able to look back and think, wow, God's really been working and speaking into my life. And Lord, I pray that would just be the start of an incredible journey with You, in and through Your word, to bring glory to Your name. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship band are going to come up. You know, I had a friend.